We're back now with more of Lake Effect Weekend on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. This is the last weekend to see ancestral modern Australian Aboriginal art at the UW-Madison Chazen Museum. Amy Gilman is director of the museum and says the collection spans the Australian continent and its many peoples.
In this edition of Radio Chipstone, Gilman tells contributor Jennifer Fields that while some Aboriginal stories are sacred and aren't to be shared with outsiders, these works were created specifically to generate funds for the community.
We have an exhibition here that brings work together from across Native communities in Australia, and that is a huge span of space. So in some cases, these communities have not historically been talking to each other, but there are some very specific commonalities, and one of the most important to know that underlies much of the work in this exhibition is called the Dreamings. And the Dreamings are really shared ancestral stories. They're origin stories, they're stories about how the land formed, they're stories about important events or locations of things like water wells and important animals and kinds of landscapes, right? And those dreamings in Aboriginal culture take place in our language, a kind of like non-time. It really is a very different concept of time and history and even storytelling than we, who are steeped in a very Western, very linear kind of storytelling, really think about how you begin a story. You begin a story and then you tell the middle and then you tell the end, right? And then there's the happily ever after, right? Whereas in Dreamings, the stories are much more circular in our language, that would be a way of describing it, but they're also just sort of all present. And they are passed down through generations, specifically with certain people and certain families or individuals who are allowed to tell certain stories. And that is a fascinating way of creating community continuity, right? That storytelling and owning a story is sided within a community or within individuals. And so all the stories that you see on the walls and in the sculpture here today have been given permission to be shown to the outside. And that is something that the communities themselves decide. There are some of these dreamings that are not allowed to be seen by non-community, right? Or even by non-family. And that's also a very important thing, because you begin to see the way the community is conceptualizing, basically communicating own culture while still owning it, right? Owning and controlling what comes out into the rest of the world for us to invite.
And also ensuring that it's going to continue by picking a particular lineage. If that becomes part of your life and your family fabric, mm-hmm. then you are bound to make sure that this story continues.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and one of the things that I think is really quite wonderful is, in the same way that I just spoke about the storytelling kind of tradition being very different, is that even things like the concept of landscape, right? So landscape in a Western, Eurocentric tradition, and especially in an art museum, is usually a horizon line, right, that allows you to see, let's say, mountains or trees or sky above and grass or ground or some other thing in the foreground, right? Some kind of, quote, three-dimensional way of looking at the land. But in fact, many of these works are about the land and actually are, if in some ways, maps to places, but they are created from a culture that sees that land not from a Western linear landscape, horizon line, sky, right? But actually from, in many ways, above, or from the way the land is actually symbolic and how that symbolism gets translated into these other forms here, and then how it would get translated back in somebody's mind to understanding what this place actually is that they're describing.
One of the most striking to me is the piece that's behind me. And looking at it, I swear to you, every time I get close, I'm shocked that I can't stick my finger in there and have a shadow fall on my finger from the depth of the piece.
I'm so glad you brought this piece up, because this is actually the work around which we anchored the beginning of the exhibition very deliberately. So as you walk into the exhibition from the museum's lobby, you cannot see this piece, right? You are given a view of a number of works in front of you, but you have to literally walk around a corner around which you get an introduction to a wide range of artwork, and you turn to your right, and the piece that you are describing takes up an entire wall. And we wanted very specifically to have your first introduction to the piece to be from a distance, right? So that you would be drawn in and have to get closer because of how dramatically it changes as you change your perspective around it. It reminds me very much of videos I've seen of Murmurations, right? And it is mysterious, and it has this rather remarkable sense of movement to it. And you don't even realize that fully, completely, until you stare at it for a little while. And considering how simple it is formally on the surface, right? It's a dark surface, and there are white marks on it. And the white marks are roughly in the shape of, I don't know, they're not quite ovals.
It's almost like, you know, when it rains so hard, you can almost see the individual drops. When you have those big, thick, long drops of rain, that's what it reminds me of.
That's a really nice description. And they're actually quite consistent, right? Within a range. And as you get closer and closer, and you realize that some of them are really deeply dense and some of them are further apart, and then you become very conscious of this sense of movement that basically takes over the entire space. And here I am gesticulating wildly as if you could see that on the radio.
We can feel it, Amy, we can feel it.
and that, I feel, it is unusual in this exhibition, and honestly in the entirety of Australian Aboriginal artwork. This is quite an unusual formal piece, but it is also a great introduction to allowing people to have the moment where you are seeing the whole thing all at once. And that is actually a very important concept with the rest of the work in the exhibition, which is, you are encouraged, of course, to look in at the details. And there's many of these, of the what is fairly well understood as being kind of classic kind of dot paintings, right? These very elaborate dots and geometric patterns that are created using thousands and hundreds of thousands of dots. But you also really need to not read it, let's say, from left to right or up to down, which, again, I'm speaking language that's very rooted in how we understand how to read text, from upper left to lower right, right? Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. That's a page. But that's how we learn to read all kinds of things that way, even things that are not text-based. And this kind of artwork encourages you, and in fact, it is based in a culture that is about seeing things all at once.
Material culture contributor Jennifer Fields curates the Radio Chipstone series. The project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts. This week, Jennifer spoke with Amy Gilman, the director of the Chazen Museum of Art in Madison.